Renewable Kerry on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Renewable Energy Ireland. Energy powered by nature.
Yeah, that's Renewable Kerry for us this week, and we're going to continue our discussion in relation to offshore renewables and offshore renewables off the West Coast this week. With me in the line to talk with this is Brian Fitzgerald, who works at the Department of Climate, Energy and the Environment as the Community Liaison Officer with the National Designated Maritime Area Plan. Brian, previously ship's captain, of course, an operational commander in our Naval Service and a lecturer in maritime law. Brian, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Kerry.
Brian, listen, we talked and the talk, there's been a lot of discussion about the timelines for offshore wind into this country and the difference between the Irish Sea and the Atlantic Seaboard. We're going to talk about the Atlantic Seaboard now. What's the potential for offshore wind in our deeper waters? That's from all the way from Cork along the Kerry coast, Limerick, Clare, Galway and on up to Donegal.
Yeah, in short, Jerry, and for your listeners, the potential is absolutely huge. And it is huge for a very, very obvious reason. And we all know this as Irish people, that we have an extraordinary resource of wind. In fact, we put a name on it, I suppose, by calling our western route way the Wild Atlantic Way. We call it wild because of that wind and how beautiful it all is. The potential is huge. Let's kind of translate that into something more practical. If Ireland goes after offshore wind in a big way, and our climate action targets say just that, you're probably talking about the biggest industry that Ireland will ever develop. And it makes such logical sense. The wind is there. And the second thing that I mentioned last week that's important for your listeners to know is that we have a continental shelf. Other countries would give their right arm for what Ireland possesses. And with that continental shelf, we have water that is shallow enough to develop a very large offshore wind industry in this country. But I just want to lead on to where we need to go as we talk about the Atlantic coast. The Atlantic coast continental shelf is slightly deeper than the south, southeast and east coasts, which are shallower. And therefore, shallower waters equals fixed bottom technology, and deeper waters, such as that on the west coast of Ireland, is more suited to the floating offshore wind technology.
Yeah, okay. So technically then, what are the difficulties involved in that because of the deeper levels of water on the shelf on the off the west coast and the east coast?
Yes. So technically, the floating offshore wind technology is not as advanced or as abundant or as easy, let's just say, as easy to erect and get going as the fixed bottom technology. The fixed bottom technology is quite simply what you see on the land, taken out to sea and stuck into the seabed. So that type of technology kind of exists worldwide today. The fixed or the floating offshore wind technology, which is essentially take out a floating platform, something that looks like a small oil or gas rig, as people would understand this. That technology exists, but you know, this to develop it into a smaller size, float it out, anchor it to the seabed and have a turbine on top of it. That is a more advanced technology and the world is rapidly going there. But because of cost purposes, the cost of a unit of electricity coming ashore from that would be higher than that from the fixed bottom technology, and therefore would the consumer be willing to pay a higher premium for electricity because the technology is more expensive today. So therefore, the west coast of Ireland is a longer term punt. But when I see longer term, it absolutely has to be part of our 2040 targets. In other words, we need to be delivering this industry by 2040. Now, I want to add, and this is where a massive opportunity exists for the west coast, is that the local content surrounding the floating offshore wind industry is a much greater factor than the fixed bottom technology. In other words, the supply chain, the ports, the local jobs, the servicing, the socioeconomic impact will be greater from floating offshore wind technology.
Okay, how far out does it have to be? Or does that matter?
It doesn't particularly matter. Distance from shore is a factor, but probably mainly it's a factor from opposition voices that don't want to look at these turbines that would be close to shore or too close to shore when there may be options to go further out. Now, going further out can be more expensive because you have to connect the electricity back into the grid, so having to bring grid out to sea and infrastructure such like out there to operate and maintain offshore wind farms further out can be more expensive, and all of this then will end up with the consumer. So the key difference between fixed bottom technology and floating offshore wind technology, just as a guideline now, is an 80 metre water depth. So therefore, if you're discussing waters that are greater than 80 metres in depth, you might as well solely talk about floating offshore wind technology. If it's less than 80 metres in depth, you can actually talk about fixed bottom technology. So that discussion has to be had, and my role with the designated maritime area plan is to go around the country of Ireland. We'll be visiting Tralee next month, we'll be visiting Dingle, we'll be visiting Limerick, to talk to community leaders and stakeholders who are directly involved in all of this, to try and identify where are the greatest areas of opportunity in Ireland for the state to think about selecting areas for this.
Okay, what other challenges would have to be overcome before we build wind energy in our deeper waters? I know you mentioned technological development and all of that. Dealing with rough seas, those sort of things. Is that a factor?
So look, you know, but it is a very important factor. But the things that really will say will connect with your listenership really is, where is the port from which you are going to deliver this industry and the operation and maintenance of it and the crew transfer and the diving and the unmanned aerial vehicles and the aircraft that will fly in and out to them and so on. Where is the main port that's going to surround that? And if you don't have one, you're slightly at a loss. Now, I'd like to just point to the West Coast and talk about the Shannon Estuary as an extraordinary natural feature that exists in your region, in North Kerry, and also perhaps Bantry Bay beyond South Kerry. So you just have to think about, where is the port, the major port? And then there can be smaller ports like Feenagh, like Dingle, who can have a role to play in this as well. But the second thing to think about is, where's the entirety of the supply chain and route to market, which includes the grid? Where is the electricity going to plug into the land? And it is very obvious that Moneypoint in the Shannon Estuary has a significant grid node that could allow a plug-in situation. So there are very valuable natural and grid resources in North Kerry in particular that can enable this entire opportunity for the West Coast.
Okay, the DMAP, the NDMAP, I should call it, which is the National Designated Maritime Area Plan, will the public have an opportunity to input into the plans?
Yeah, 100%. Stakeholder engagement is emergent, really, and it has emerged over a number of years now as probably one of the biggest factors of all. It's very important, and the department has employed people like me and a fisheries liaison officer to do exactly that. So what we're going to do is, it's only just kicked off. We're going to come around. We're already started. We're coming down the East Coast. We'll be on the South Coast next week. And we're coming around the week after that up to Kerry, Limerick, Clare, and heading northward, right around the coast, effectively. But that is to listen to key leaders within the community that would have a stakeholding in this. Then that's at a pre-draft stage. That's just to try and identify where the broad areas of interest are. Then we'll be coming around again, likely in a non-statutory capacity, to meet the public in general with open sessions all around the coast. Then we would have the statutory consultation, and only after that will the draft plan be ready to be presented before the Houses of the Oireachtas for consideration, debate, and hopefully ultimate approval. And then after that, an auction would take place where the sites selected could allow a developer to bid to become the person that's going to build that wind farm. And throughout all of that, you have the planning process and the public engagement that that individual developer will have to do with the public in the region. So the opportunities for the public and coastal communities in particular to be involved in this is, I would argue, as good as it can be. And I want to reassure all of your listeners of that, and also say that without, not just on those arranged events, we are available 100% of the time to come and talk to various interest groups in case there's something peculiar that we may not be aware of.
Okay, Brian, final question. Look, it's probably an impossible one to answer, but is there a timeline on this? When are we going to see our first, maybe either fixed bottom or particularly maybe floating offshore off the West Coast? Are we talking 5, 10 years?
You probably are. It's difficult. It's difficult to tie it down. If you think about it, just the way the world
current global events might be speeding it up as we speak.
Well, that's exactly right. Although the current global events just a few months ago were retarding the whole thing in the sense that the United States was going very pro-fossil fuels. And I want to remind your listeners that Ireland is so dependent on fossil fuels at the moment. We import it at €1 million per hour. In fact, bigger than that, more than €1 million per hour. We have to, as a result of these international events, move towards a self-sustained energy security, and wind offers us the greatest opportunity to do that. So, you know, I would say that you will have about 10, we'll say a large number of gigawatts of floating offshore wind running and delivering electricity to Ireland by 2040. So therefore, you're probably looking at, as you rightly say, somewhere between 5 to 10 years before floating offshore wind technology is active. You're probably looking 3 to 5 years for fixed bottom technology to be active.
Okay. All right. Listen, Brian, we're going to leave it. Thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning with Renewable Kerry and Offshore Wind. And good luck with the work as it continues over the next couple of weeks. That's Brian Fitzgerald there with us on the line for Renewable Kerry.